Okay, everybody can get up and go back to your seats except Shanae. And we're going to invite Shanae to come down to the podium. And I want us to all give Shanae Tucker a big, warm Augusta welcome as she presents to us Becoming a Bold Mentor. Thank you so much, Shanae, for coming.
All right. Good evening, Augusta and everybody else. It is a joy to be here tonight. You know, I was supposed to be at the Bold Venture. Where was that when I got snowed in? Concord. And we had the worst snowstorm in Oklahoma history. I mean, I didn't leave my house for a whole week. My street, it was that bad. So I'm just delighted to be here tonight. Before I get into the message, I just want to introduce just a few people who are here with me. First of all, Danielle, who's on the stage, is a young lady who I'm one of her many mentors. And she was in my discipleship class that I did, and she's traveled with me. You've been to India with me twice, and we were also down in Christ for the Nations together. And so I wanted her to be here to help me read some scripture, but I also wanted to kind of also model something by Danielle just being here with me today. And also my sister Sharon, stand up Sharon, my sister Sharon, and my niece Lindsay, and then also my niece-in-law, where's Lori? Lori, good. I just wanted to just welcome these guys. I'm so proud to have them here tonight. Let's just start with just prayer before I get into the word. Can we do that? The worship was amazing, wasn't that? And I just wanted to say a few things as I get started tonight, as we really kind of get into the teaching tonight about mentoring. I want to encourage all of us as we're here this weekend to really do what I call take corporate responsibility for the anointing. And what I mean by that is that it's not like when a minister is up here, or whoever is up here, as we're just kind of being ourselves and sharing this whole weekend, that none of us are going to have the positioning of like, well, let's just sit back and hope that one's good. And, you know, and maybe she can bring it, you know, how we do. You know, well, why is she wearing that? You know how. But I just want us to, from the very beginning, let's just all, as a sisterhood and our few guys here, let's all pull on Holy Spirit, you know. Because I really believe is we'll all take corporate responsibility for the atmosphere, that, you know, he will give us more. And then secondly, I want to encourage each of you who are here, all of us, to be very greedy. To be greedy, because here's how things work. You know, you might have something that you're really, really asking God to do for you. And I believe if you'll really pull on the Holy Spirit, he'll change a message just for you. No, he really will. I have gone to speak at it for a conference or retreat, and I had everything laid out. And I know I heard God, okay? But some woman somewhere in that retreat must have got with God and said, look, put something on the table for me. Because I found myself up at 5:30 in the morning, and God was changing stuff. And so somebody made a demand on Holy Spirit, and I had to change. Now, I still had the main message, but I had to bring that for that, whoever that was. So I just want you to know that you're not just anybody. You're not just anybody. I mean, when you pray, stuff happens. So I want to really encourage you to really make it, be greedy. You're here to pull and receive and also to give. So really pull. Let's just take a moment and just do that. And let's just kind of focus and talk to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus. In fact, can someone just real quick? So Father, let's just go before the Lord right now. Father, we're asking. We're busy women. We got a lot of things going on, but Father, tonight and for the whole weekend, we're making a demand on you, Holy Spirit, to come and feed us. When we conclude Bold Venture on Saturday, we want to walk out different, and we want to receive something from you. Now just go one-on-one right now, ladies. Just lock in. Just go one-on-one. Come on. Lord, I'm going one-on-one with you tonight because I have a need, and Lord, you looked at your calendar, and I'm booked all the way through to the time you take me home. You have divine appointments for me, things for me to do, assignments, and you want to also change me. And so, Lord, I'm asking tonight that you're going to cause there to be things specifically that I need for my calling. And, Lord, more than anything, Lord God, more than anything, I want intimacy. And there are things in my life I don't really get, I don't understand. And Lord, there's somebody that you're calling and some various ones that you're calling to help me. And Father, I want to make all my connections. Some of you right now, this Holy Spirit's just kind of falling. You might feel the tears come. I want to encourage you this weekend. Don't hold back. We're just all in this together. Don't hold back. This is for you. All this has been done is for you. Yeah, Holy Spirit, just come. Just take a moment right now. We're just locking in. Keep pulling on Him. You're doing fantastic. Just keep pulling. You're doing wonderful. Some of you are just feeling the tears come right now. He's just saturating our heart. We're just setting the tone here. We want Holy Spirit to teach us. It's the teaching meetings. We're just receiving and being taught. We're also receiving. So Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Have your way tonight in my life, Lord. Give me something that I didn't have before I came, that I can fulfill every good work that you have for me. I want to know you. First of all, I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you. I want to be healed. I want to just deal with some stuff, and I ask that you would help me all weekend long. Now I trust you, Lord, to do for me above more than I could ask or even think. Come on, just park there for a minute. Lord, I expect you to do for me more than I could even ask or think, according to the power that's working on the inside of me, because I'm not just anybody. I'm your child. That's who I am. I'm not just anybody. I'm your girl. So, Lord, I'm coming boldly, and I'm expecting you to do that for me, Lord. And I trust you now, Lord. I'm going to remain in this place of pulling on you, not on the speaker, but I'm pulling on you all weekend long. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. All right. Thank you so much, sister on the keys. You know, I was asked to speak tonight on bold mentoring, and the talk I want to give you tonight is, I've entitled it, Bold Mentoring, Your Connecting Flight to Purpose and Destiny. And Lee referenced that I have it as just a little bit about me. I teach at ORU. I'm a professor there. And I teach social work, and I'm also the field education director. I'm also a licensed therapist. I've done counseling for many, many years. Was on a pastoral staff for many years, about 8 years, doing pastoral counseling, doing everything that you do as an associate pastor on staff. So the Lord has blessed me to be able to do many, many things. But several years ago, I wrote a program called Purity with Purpose, a 12-week discipleship course for women, and then later one for men, to teach men and women the value of purity, and so marriage. And we did that course for a number of years, and probably over, you know, from all the just kind of just guesstimations, I would probably say over the past maybe 20 years or so, there probably were about maybe over 10,000 people that took that course. And it went to, at one time it was in about 14 different states. And then another program that I wrote that I do right now is called In Search of Purpose and a Route to Destiny. And it's a 14-week, I call it your 14-week appointment with God. And so we train leaders to teach. It's a discipleship course. We train leaders to actually do the course. And so we're doing that now in various places. And so I don't teach that anymore live because we have it on DVD and we have a training program. So if you're interested in wanting to know about that, I'll tell you how you can learn about any of any upcoming trainings that we'll have for that. But I'm saying that because about 2 years ago, the Lord asked me to teach. I had not taught that class live for over 10 years because it's on DVD. But the Lord told me, he said, I want you to teach this course live. And he asked me to do that in the busiest time. I had so much going on. Anybody who's just been there? You've got so much going on. And then the Lord says, I want you to do this. And you're like, surely, you're just talking to somebody else. You don't mean me. But what happened was that he asked me to do this course, and he told me, he said, I want you, this course to be made up mostly of emerging young leaders, you know, like 30, you know, 35 and under or so. And so when I began to do this course live, we had about 22 people. Danielle was in that class. And I had suddenly my life was surrounded by all these young 20-somethings. And I mean, we had, again, if there were 22 of them in the class, I think maybe were a couple that might have been over 35 or 40, just a few. It was a men and women's class, but mostly women. And the leadership team, we were like 40s and 50s, you know. And so as time went on, it became very clear to me what God was doing, that this class was a prophetic picture of what God is doing. It was just so clear to me. And the Lord was telling me, I'm getting ready to change a season in your life, because I'm getting ready to do something really big around the earth. And this class is a prophetic picture of what I'm doing. And so he began to show me in our leadership team. We had about, maybe 15 on our leadership team, and we were, again, 40s and 50s. And he began to show me that he was sovereignly and supernaturally connecting the generations as he's preparing to accelerate the movement of his Holy Spirit around the earth in this season. So he was doing this massive connecting of the generations, okay? That's really important, because that's kind of where I'm going to be parking on this, kind of parking around this message today. And I believe that he's doing this for two reasons. Number one, why he's doing this massive, intense connecting of the generations, really through mentoring, is because there exists right now on the earth a generation of people who, mostly people who are like 40 and older, who have been pregnant with a vision for about 30 to 40 years, but they have yet to see the fulfillment of these prophetic promises, or the ones that they had, they watched crash and burn. Anybody out there understand what I'm talking about? There was a generation of people in that category who were pregnant with purpose, but had yet to see what they had longed for happen. And as a consequence, because of the long waiting, many of these people have come down with a disease that I call a spiritual emotional disease called hope deferred. Daniel, read for me, please, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. If you can get that real quick. Daniel's going to be reading scripture for me. When we minister, sometimes I take her with me and she reads scripture. But she's finding that she's a wonderful young woman. Aren't you a biochemical engineer? Biomedical engineer. She's an amazing young woman, and just a woman of, what are you, 33?
Biomedical, yes. Oh, yes, I am.
Yeah, she's just wonderful. Love this woman. Okay, go ahead and read that scripture for us, Daniel.
It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life.
Okay, so the classic symptoms of hope deferred are hopelessness, unbelief, and an inability to dream. Okay, let's kind of say a lot of that a bit. Hopelessness, unbelief, and an inability to dream. And, you know, I heard someone say once that you don't get old because of age. You get old when you lose the ability to dream. Because it's not about getting numb, you know, aging. You know, that's not the problem. It's the inability to dream, which means I don't think about the future anymore. I don't dream about the future. So number one, the Lord said that there was a generation of people who've been pregnant with purpose. It was God. God did give the dream back in the day, but they did not see it fulfilled. And so there was became sick of heart, hope deferred. Number two, the reason I believe he's bringing these divine intergenerational connections is also because, number two, there's an emerging generation of 30-somethings and under that have been marked by God for visitation. And this is prophetic. This is a prophetic word here. And this visitation is going to come upon them suddenly and unexpectedly. And most of them are completely unprepared for what God's about to do suddenly, because God has marked them. Because the days are evil. And God's about to do something glorious. I'm telling you, I know this like I am standing here. I know this. There's a move of the Spirit coming across the earth. It's going to hit young people. And there's been a generation of people who've been pregnant with purpose, who didn't see the desire come, the dream come. They're like, what, Lord, what, why? But what's been happening is God's been preparing them a lifetime. What's about to come, because God's going to marry the fathers with the children so that this move that he's bringing will be able to be sustained because of the support of the mamas and the papas. All right. So we've got, he's, for two reasons. There's the generation, the older ones who are been sick at heart, not seeing desires fulfilled, and the younger generation who God has marked visitation. It's coming on. There's coming a radical shift. It's coming quickly. And the Lord's getting ready to, he's doing it even now, linking these generations. And there's a, in scripture in Luke chapter 1 and 2, the Lord showed this to me about a year and a half ago, and I was just parking this, couldn't get out of Luke 1 and 2. He began to show me that Luke 1 and 2 provides a prophetic picture of these two generations. Let's look at that for a bit. In the story of Luke chapter 1 and 2, you have two generations. You have Zacharias, right? Remember? And you have Elizabeth, the older generation, right? And you've also got Mary, who represents the younger, and of course her beau, Joseph, okay? And so here we see in this story, we've got two generations who are with child, okay? But then they come together. Danielle, would you read for us, please? Let's see what I want you to read. Okay, before you read, let me tell you this. Okay, in the story, you all know the story, right? In the story, we see Elizabeth and Zach. They have been, you know when you read the story, by the way that Zachariah responds to the visitation from the angel, that he's not really, really believing that this is really going to happen, right? You know, he's not. And so, and I really believe because there was a time when they probably really believed God for a child, you know, in their culture they had to. And the years went by, and the years went by, and the years went by, and finally, it just became emotionally too expensive to hope. It just became emotionally too expensive. It was more cost efficient to stop dreaming. And so I think they stopped dreaming. And so then, of course, he gets the visitation from Gabriel, and then the Lord, you know, tells him, he says, well, how will I know this? Give me a sign. God says, yeah, I'll give you a sign, you know, zip, you know. And the Lord even showed me before, he said, you know, I think the reason that that Zachariah was silenced was not just because it was a rebuke, but for his own protection, God shut him down. So he didn't curse the very thing that he'd been waiting a lifetime for. The Lord just had to shut the brother down and help him out. All right. So we've got that generation. We've got Mary, we've got Elizabeth and Zach. And then we've got Mary who, and remember, Elizabeth, they've been probably asking for years and then didn't get what they wanted, right? And it seemed like it was too late for them. Then we have Mary who's just living her life, isn't asking for anything. Just living life and, you know, she's cool. Life's good. And what happens? She gets a visitation suddenly, right? She's not prepared for it, really, because she, you know, but it's suddenly, right? And she just says, you know, when the Lord says to Gabriel, you're going to be with child, she's like, okay, bring it, you know, let's do this. And while I do commend Mary, I think we can be too hard on Elizabeth because they had borne the heat of the day of disappointment. Mary didn't have a history yet of disappointment. So it was easier for her to say, sure, I'm in. So let's be kind to these two generations and not be overly harsh on Elizabeth and Zachariah. So anyway, so once Mary finds out that Elizabeth is pregnant, they're both pregnant in the same season, what does she do? She seeks her out. She leaves where she is and she goes to seek out this older woman who is also pregnant in the same season. Daniel, please read for us Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 40, please.
But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Okay. How? Was that it?
Go ahead. Oh. Go ahead. Finish.
"How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you."
Yes.
"And the power of the Most High will overshadow you."
The power of God is coming. Read on.
"So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Mm-hmm. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month."
Yeah.
"For nothing is impossible with
nothing
God."
Nothing is impossible. Read on.
"I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be done unto me as you have said." Then the angel left. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear."
Yes.
"But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Mm-hmm. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished."
Yes. And the Lord said to me about a year and a half ago, I just heard him say very clearly, he said, in the season that we're in right now, and this is the word of the Lord, he said, the move of God, it's not like it's coming, it's already here. It's emerging. He said, right now, he said, there are two generations that are both pregnant. Just let that kind of settle in on you, because I'm telling you by the word of the Lord, both generations are pregnant. Elizabeth is pregnant. If you're Elizabeth, I'm telling you, you're with child. And I don't care how long it's been. God has not forgotten you. It wasn't that it was too late. It was just too early. Because you're getting ready to birth a John Baptist generation, and you've needed your entire life to get ready for what's coming. Okay? That's how that works. They needed a whole lifetime to prepare for this kid, because this kid was going to be very different from them. They were of the temple order, you know, sacrifices. This kid's got locusts hanging out of his mouth, right? I mean, you know, he's got honey all over him, you know. It was going to take prophetic people who had a history in God to help this young guy fulfill his calling, because he was going to be a revivalist. Okay. So there are two generations that are pregnant. The Elizabeth generation is pregnant, the over 40 somethings. And then the Mary is also pregnant, but in the same season. This is going to be a tri-generational movement, okay? And we're all in it, okay? So I want you to be encouraged by that, and we're going somewhere with this message now. So, Daniel, just read for us, please, Joel chapter 2, verse 28, because this is what God's about to do, and then get ready to follow up with Malachi 4, 5, and 6. This is because God's about to pour his spirit out upon us. Read, please.
Joel 20 what? 2.
228, yes,
28,
please.
28, yes.
And 29, yeah.
"And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people."
All people.
"Your sons and your daughters will prophesy."
The babies are getting ready to prophesy. Read on, please.
"Your old men will dream dreams."
Zach and Elizabeth are about to dream dreams again. All right, go ahead.
"And your young men will see visions."
Yes.
"Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit
men
in those
women.
Days.
Yes, amen. And then Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, please.
"See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Or else I will come and strike the land with a curse."
So the Lord is getting ready to pull the generations together. He's already doing it. We're here at Bold Venture for that purpose. Okay? And I really believe that in this move of the Spirit that's coming, it's going to be an accelerated move. It's going to take push from two generations, really three. I don't have time to go into the story and talk about Simeon and Anna, who were in that third generation. But all of them had to touch the baby. You hear me? God said, Simeon said, the Lord told him, "You're not going to die until you have touched this revival child." Okay? So some of us who are even feel like maybe it's just too late, the Lord says, "No, you're going to touch this movement." Okay, so this is all hands on deck. Three generations to push this baby into the forefront, okay? This is an amazing time to be alive. And God in his wisdom is supernaturally connecting the generations. This is why mentoring and discipleship is critical in this period of time. As Lee has been saying to us already, this can't just be people sitting in an audience looking at a stage. It's just not going to cut it. It's going to take people who are going to be relational, you know, sleeves rolled up, you know, you got baby spit up on you. You know, where's our mom over here? You know how you get the little drool on your, come on, get ready to get drool. If you're in the Elizabeth Zach generation, get ready to get your skirt, you know, with the grab marks when the kid grabs the skirt, you know, and you got all the, you know, you just don't look as cute as you used to look because of this move coming. You know, when I want to use the metaphor of connecting flights to kind of talk about this mentoring thing. I really want to set the appetite this week, and then I'm going to say a few specifics about mentoring through some examples in Scripture. But the example of connecting flights, when I woke up this morning at about 4 to travel this direction here, I wanted to end up in Augusta, Georgia. But in order to end up in Augusta, Georgia, I had to first go from Tulsa to Charlotte, okay? Because in Charlotte, that was my connecting flight, okay? I could not get from Tulsa to Augusta without first going through Charlotte and connecting with that plane there. And I really believe that mentors can be like a type of a connecting flight. Some of us, I think one of the sisters on the panel was saying, she was kind of saying, I didn't really have all I could have been, didn't go as far as I could have gone. Because I didn't, was it use, yeah. I didn't have the mentors, I didn't have the mentors. And so some of us who have not had mentors or who maybe have not been in a position or an open-heartedness to seek out a mentor, it can hinder you from becoming all that you can be because it's your connecting flight. Some things you're not going to get in your prayer closet alone. Your prayer closet will begin to pull those people into your view. But some things are going to come through relation. In fact, most things are going to come through relationship. God's going to use human agents to help you along the journey. And so in order to get to Augusta, I had to take that connecting flight. And, you know, I was remember looking on to the news some years ago, a couple years ago. We had that huge snowstorm, remember? And people were like, people miss Christmas. You know, people were in the airport. People were going on cruises. And it was just, you see them on the news, they're like, you know, they had their swim trunks and their probably in their suitcase. They never made it to the cruise because they didn't get their connecting flight because all the flights were held up because of the bad weather. So by not getting that connecting flight, we can miss sometimes, or even if not miss it, things can be delayed, right? The good news, though, because I only have good news. The good news is that in this acceleration that God's doing, you're gonna feel like you are already caught up because He's gonna speed things up so quickly that even the things that you felt like you missed are gonna serve you. It's gonna serve His purpose, and that's the truth. So again, this whole idea of connecting flights. And when I talk about this idea of intergenerational mentoring, I don't want to suggest that mentoring just simply has to be someone who's really old, way older than you, and can't be someone who's even closer in age. It can be that too, because we don't just have to have just one mentor. You can have several kinds of mentors. You might be writing a book, or you might be wanting to maybe start a ministry. And so you might maybe have one mentor that's speaking to one area of your life. Maybe you need a mentor you're a new mom and you need some help. Maybe you're now in the teen years and you need someone to help you get through those difficult years with your kids. So there can be all kinds of mentors. You can have several at one time who are giving different kinds of input in your life. So, but I'm using this idea of intergenerational mentoring as our model tonight because I really want to highlight the whole idea of this the reciprocal quality of mentoring. It's not just a one-way street. See, even if you're the one in the perceived giving end, there's something that you need from that mentoring. And I want to talk about that tonight to really encourage this. So when God connects people together in mentoring relationships, you're going to see several things happening. This is not an exhaustive list, but you'll see, number one, sometimes spiritual impartation and activation. We'll look at some scriptural examples of that, spiritual impartation and activation. Number two, you'll sometimes see the Lord giving what I call second chance opportunities. Second chance opportunities to be able to, you know, the Lord's all about letting us pass the test, you know. So maybe you didn't pass the test when you were raising your own children, so now you get to help raise another generation, right? I heard someone say once, you don't flunk a test, you just keep taking it over and the Lord until you pass, you know, because he's a dad and he's a teacher. He's so many things. He's everything. And then also you'll see, number three, you'll see sometimes mentoring being about renewal and healing, about personal renewal and healing, or what we call in counseling, corrective emotional experiences. Corrective emotional experiences. It's kind of like this. If you got wounded in a relationship, I'd say 99.99% of the time, you're going to be healed in a relationship. The Lord's going to bring a healthy version of what broke you and give you a corrected version of that so that the healthy ministry dwarfs the disappointment. So that's important, because if we have been wounded in relationships and we say, well, okay, not doing that anymore, you know, I'm just going to be me and Jesus, you know. I love God, but I hate people, you know. And so you're not going to get healed that way, because the Lord knows that you're going to have to go, you must needs go through the relationships again to get the healing. And so that's why there has to be an openness to allow people back in your life. We're going to look at a scripture example of that tonight. And then also, you'll see mentoring being about what I call acceleration. You know, the Lord is speeding things up because of the days. And so there are some of us as mentors, we need to quickly help download into a generation things that took us years to learn, because things are speeding up. So through mentoring, there are things that could have taken you years to learn that God will do very quickly. Or you'll still have to do your time, you know. But he'll simply give you those lessons a lot quicker. So you can't just get it by hiding out in the prayer closet. Though do go to the prayer closet. Do hide out. But come out and then be open to relationship. Okay. So these mentor relationships have a dual purpose. They benefit both the mentor and the mentee. And without the mentor relationships, both generations will miss their connecting flight. Okay. Hear that. Both. So you might think, okay, you know, I'm going to mentor this young woman or whatever, and I pour into her, but it's all about her. It really is not all about her, because there's something in the relationship that you need. And the Lord's going to unveil that even more as we get deeper into the message. Okay, so I'm going to highlight for us then what I'm looking at, five generational connections as modeled in Scripture. We're looking at these relationships through a prophetic lens, okay? So we know there's the story, but we're looking at the story through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, and we're applying it to where we are in real time today. So I kind of already referenced what I'm calling the Mary Elizabeth connection. Let's talk about that. The Mary Elizabeth connection. That's our first example in Scripture, the Mary Elizabeth connecting flight. Of course, the story, you heard the story, Danielle read it for us. We know that that Mary has to leave where she is and travel to seek out Elizabeth, right? So there's a lesson right there about pursuing a mentor. She had to leave where she was and go pursue this older relative. But this is what's really cool that I saw in Scripture. It says when Elizabeth heard, what Scripture says, Mary runs to her house. She travels to her house. It says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That says to me that when this younger generation connected with the older, that which she was pregnant with was activated. So there's some things in your life maybe that have been dormant. You know where the activation is going to come from? That connection. When you hear that young woman's voice or that young person's voice, and they're coming seeking you out, and you begin to say yes to that, that which is in you is going to get activated. That's that impartation. It's going to get stirred. And God's wanting to stir some things this weekend in us. He's wanting us to revisit some old dreams through these connections. Lord, just release your spirit right now, God. Just begin to stir. Guys, we have work to do. Come on. This is an amazing time to be alive. I have never been so excited. I'm so excited. All right. So the baby's just, you know, breakdancing in the womb, you know, whatever. Yeah. Wish I could dance still. I used to be able to. Should get my niece up here and have her do something for us. She's a dancer. All right. So, okay, the other thing that's so cool is that it says that when Elizabeth is activated, but when she hears Mary's voice, it says that she turns around and she begins to prophesy to Mary. She begins to say to her, blessed are you who believe what the Lord said would fulfill his promise. So she then begins to prophesy back to the younger generation. But it began with the activation of that person seeking her out. And that young person got affirmation, because, you know, it had to be really difficult for Mary. But she's thinking, okay, Elizabeth's pregnant. Things weird are happening. Let me go check her out, see what's going on with her. And then she begins to say, blessed are you because you believe. She's affirming her, that which the Lord told you. So there's a young generation. They need our affirmation. They're getting a sudden visitation. They're like, what is going on? And they need somebody with stability and maturity and a history in God to help them know, what on earth? Is this really God? I'm telling you, there's a generation about to be visited by God, and they're going to go, is this even God? I'm hearing things in the night. God told me to, you know, I'm going to one day do this. Is this really God? And they need to have an Elizabeth there who could help them understand. Because you know what? If we're not there, they might abort the mission. They need us. Okay, moving on. All right. So the second connection is what I'm calling the Eli-Samuel connection. The Eli-Samuel connecting flight. Remember, these relationships are mutual, okay? They're beneficial to the mentee and the mentor, the Eli-Samuel connection. Let's park there for a bit. So, we know the story. We've got Hannah who releases Samuel to the home of Eli. Eli's not doing so well, okay? This is a man who didn't raise his kids right. They're messing up at the temple. They're doing horrible, ungodly things, and God is not happy. And so we know that the scripture says that Samuel had been placed in his home. And so technically, Eli is his adoptive father, okay? Can you read a portion of that I gave you, Danielle? And I'll tell you when to stop, okay? Go ahead and read that. From 1 Samuel.
I don't remember the verse.
Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's see. Let me find that. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Well, in fact, let me just summarize it real quick, and I'll have you read a second. In that story, remember the story, that Samuel is the scripture says that Samuel is actually sleeping in front of the altar. Remember? He's sleeping in front of the altar, and he hears the voice call him, and he runs to Eli, says, you called me. Eli says, no, go back to bed. This happens a second time. Finally, the brother realizes, okay, this is a visitation. This child is having a visitation from God. Let me help him out. Let me help him position himself to receive from God. And I want to park and say one thing first. Isn't it interesting that Samuel is sleeping in front of the altar? And the scripture says that Samuel did not yet know, he did not know the Lord, right? And that's a prophetic picture of a generation that had been in church. Sleeping in front of the altar, in the church for years, but still don't know God's voice. Come on. There's a lot of kids in the church who are just good kids, but many of them have not yet experienced God in the church. Now, we could look at Eli and go, this brother is in trouble with God. He's not doing well. He could have written himself off and said, what do I have to offer? You know, I messed up. You know what? But he still knew more than Samuel. And so what does he do? When he realizes this kid's having a visitation, he says, oh, when he calls you this time, go lie down, you know, wait, be still, and then say, Lord, speak, your servant's listening. So in a sense, we can see in this example that Eli teaches Samuel how to position himself before God, how to receive a visitation. He needed this elder, mature guy with a history, though he had messed up some, but he still knew more than Samuel. And I'm giving that example because I think there might be some of us here today that maybe you've disqualified yourself. Maybe you've said, well, you know, I wasn't a good parent. I didn't do this. What do I have to offer? And the Lord says, you know what? You still know more than they do. And even though Eli had this challenge with his sons and all that, when it came down to when Samuel was visited the next morning, he said, tell me what the Lord said. He said, tell me everything. Don't compromise. Now, his sons compromised, but he knew enough now to tell this young new son, do it right, son. Do it right. And I think the lesson for Eli and those of us who could be in the Eli position, that maybe you're not living like Eli lived, maybe you've disqualified yourself because of your past or your self-judgments, is that the Lord wants to give us opportunities for divine do-overs. Okay? So there's always something. So what was in it for Samuel? He got to be positioned and told how to receive the visitation. What was in it for Eli? An opportunity for a divine do-over. He was going to at least get to do something right when it came to mentoring before he passed on, okay? So the Lord is always about giving us second opportunities, the Eli-Samuel connection. Let's look at the next flight. Let's look at the Naomi-Ruth connection. Okay, the Naomi-Ruth connection, of course, found in the book of Ruth, the whole book of Ruth. You can read that later. Of course, you know the story like I do. Naomi is a woman who's very, very broken. Okay, this sister has lost her husband and her two sons in a foreign land. Everything has gone wrong. She's left Bethlehem, which is called the house of bread. She goes to Moab, and everything dies in Moab. And she's broken. So the story goes on. She figures out, she hears a rumor that there's bread back in the house of bread. There's a revival going on in her hometown. Decides to head back home, but then she tells her two daughters-in-law, she had two daughters-in-law, she tells them both to go home. One of them does, but Ruth is still clinging, saying, no, I'm not, I want to go with you. And she says, no, you know, go back, you know, I'm a bitter woman. She changes her name from Naomi to Mara, which means bitter. Major identity crisis, right? And when she arrives back home, the women in the village are saying, is this Naomi? And I think the reason they were saying that is because, you know, grief and sorrow can even change the way you look. You know, when you've been through a lot, you've seen people who've been through a lot, they just physically look different. I think this sister was just really, really broken. When I first read this story, I thought, well, you know, she's just being practical. She doesn't want to have this young woman come with her and go back home. She has nothing to offer her, no sons, promises of husbands. And at first she looked really, really noble. But then the Holy Spirit showed me, he said, you know, it wasn't just that she was being noble. I think that my sense from pondering it was that I think she was afraid to open her heart to love again. You know why? Nadine, because everything she loved kept dying. So it was emotionally too expensive to love. It was just cheaper to not love and open her heart again. I think that was also part of the issue of why she chose to shut down. But again, here, Sister Ruth is just, you know, like, got, you know, rug burns on her. You know, she's just clinging, you know. She's like, no, I'm going home with you. And so what was the benefit of this connection? And here's the lesson for us, those of us who would relate more to Naomi, is that maybe you have been through brokenness. Maybe you've had mega losses. Maybe you're going through depression. Maybe you're, you know, in menopause, for help us all, Lord, you know. You're trying not to kill anybody, let alone mentor somebody, you know. And come on, can we just be real? You know, come on. But Naomi has to make the choice to open her heart again to love, because here's the deal. Ruth was her connecting flight to provision in the next season. And had she said no to Ruth, she would have missed her flight. Because that little girl was going to be bringing bread in the house. That was her meal ticket for the next season. That mentoring relationship was mutual. And also for Ruth, she didn't know the Lord at all. And even though Naomi was broken, she still had a history in God. And here's the lesson for those of us who are in the Naomi category. You may say, well, when I feel better, when I feel healthier, when I feel more like myself, like my old self, that's when I'll mentor. But my sister, you're going to have to mentor limping. You're going to have to just limp, taking Sister Ruth, and limp all the way home, because that's your meal ticket. So don't wait until you feel like it, because you're probably not going to feel like it. But you're going to get healed along the way. You start out limping, and then you'll be walking well after a while. So that's the takeaway from this connection. Isn't that good? Some of us are going to have to mentor broken. Isn't that good? And here's the deal. And Ruth, if you're the Ruth in this story here, that's who you are. Your mentor that you're pursuing may not look like all that she is. Okay? So don't quickly think that could not be the one God's calling you to pursue, because what happens in the story later? And this is there's a word on this that I'm going to say next, is that Naomi helps the sister out, because when it comes time for her to marry in Boaz, you know, when her husband didn't just like fall out of the sky, right? Naomi worked it out. Come on. She hooked the sister up, didn't she? She did. She said, look, grease yourself down, you know, come on, you know, get your good clothes on, come on, clean, yeah, go at night, clean up well, lay at his feet. When he says this, you say that, right? She coached her. I think that there are a lot of single women out there, perhaps, maybe you shouldn't just be praying for Boaz, pray for Naomi. Because your connecting flight may just not be meeting Boaz. You might meet Boaz, but you don't know how to catch Boaz. But Naomi can hook, she can help you out. She can help you out, okay? And some of us who are Naomi, we need to be Naomis for these young sisters and help them know how to, you know, you don't catch that guy by letting it all show. Pull it up, shut it down, and then just kind of, you know, take a little instruction here and there, okay? Come on. Without Naomi, Ruth would not have got that man. And without Ruth, Naomi would have been hungry. Her connecting flight. The Ruth-Naomi connecting flight. And she got a grandchild. Thank you. Thank you. And in that culture, having a child was everything. And so because in her broken state, she took on that young woman, went back home, she got free food, and she got a legacy. She got a legacy. Some of us are going to have to mentor when we don't feel like we feel like it's the worst time. It seemed like the worst time in my life to take on a group of 22 young 20-somethings. You know, teaching full-time at ORU. I was traveling. I was just too busy. And I had this beautiful... they're all quality. She's one of like the 20, you know, they're all like her. They're just excellent people. She's going to do great things for God. This woman, I brought her as a showpiece. No, you didn't know that, did you? That you were a showpiece. But she's a wonderful young woman. We went to India together twice. And the second time we went, I had Danielle organize all the organization. She's a master at that. She took so much off of me. She's just an amazing, she's an intercessor. She loves God. She's just an amazing woman. And, you know, I just got to be a small piece in that. But I was not in the best place to do what I did. But I feel like I got so much out of it. And she's just a delight, wonderful person. There's so many more like her that we had back in Tulsa. So, again, the Ruth-Naomi connection. And then, lastly, the last connecting flight would be the Esther Mordecai, right, connection. Okay. We all know that story, the wonderful story, and that's also Elise. I know that's one of the models for his ministry, right? So what is the takeaway there is that in this connection, we know we've got young, beautiful Esther, who's just beautiful, you know? But she needs a mentor to tell her, you are beautiful. You know, some people who are beautiful... Some people hide their beauty. Some people flaunt it. But God made her to draw attention for a reason. And her mentor helped her to know that you are a pretty face for a reason. So let's help you out. And so he helped her out. Helped her position herself to be able to be chosen. And when she was, you know, chosen, he coached her even from the gate. Right? He coached her. And then when it came down to the reason for that she'd been even brought into that kingdom, when she was about to hold back and just, you know, not do what she should do, he told her the truth. As mentors, we have to be willing to say the hard things. Risk the rejection, risk that they don't like it. And then if you're Esther, better listen. Because, listen, that was her, everything was all about that moment for her. She's about to miss the finale. If she hadn't had her Mordecai there, she might have missed the whole thing and a whole people would have perished. There are people perishing right now. We never know who that young person is. They might look like they're just anybody, but they're not just anybody. They might represent a whole nation. And your voice could give them courage to go the distance. Your voice. You're the connecting flight for that person. God looked at his calendar, looked at his watch, calculated that you would connect with them at that time in history so that when they needed to board that plane of destiny, you would be there to usher them in. You're a connecting flight for somebody. There are prayers that are being that had not been prayed yet, but God heard them in eternity. And so he backed up in time and got you ready, even all the stuff you went through, so that you would then connect with them in time so they'd make their plane and save a nation and save a people. And what's cool, and as I was pondering the story of Esther, and wrapping up with this, is that I always focused on Esther and what she got out of it. I said, Lord, what did Mordecai get out of this? When you read the end of the story, Mordecai ends up getting promoted. You know who helped him get promoted? Esther. The scripture says he became, second, I think, in command to the king. He went from being a beggar at the gate to being the second in command of an empire. Why? Because of his connecting flight with that young woman. So for some of us, the connecting flight or the mentor relationship is about acceleration. God wants to accelerate you to the next season. But that mentor relationship might be the very key that you need, but it won't look like a key when you're mentoring. Just this needy person who's just cute, you know, sweet. Doesn't look like much, but you know what? In God's calendar, she was a queen. So the person that you're mentoring might be someone who in the future, you might need them. Now that's not our motivation, but I wanted to emphasize the point that when God's asking us to mentor, it's never a one-way street. There are always different reasons why, but there's always something on the table for you. So I want us now just to go to a time, can we do this reflection as we kind of prepare to wrap here? I want us to now, can you hand, where's Amy? Go ahead and hand those two handouts for me. Do you need some help handing those out? Okay, you got helper, okay. I'm having her hand out a worksheet. And I want you, as she's handing that out, to begin thinking about the stories. We had those four connections. We had Mary Elizabeth, we had Eli Samuel, and we had Ruth, Naomi, and then we had Esther and Mordecai. I want you right now to begin thinking, which of those stories do you relate to? Which character are you right now? Okay? And which character are you? Did you relate more to the Ruth story? Did you relate more to the Elizabeth? Or just kind of ask the Holy Spirit, where am I in this whole mentoring continuum? Where am I in this? Just ponder and ask the Holy Spirit where you are. And this worksheet that I've given you, I'm going to ask you to, you're going to fill it out more. You can work on it tonight or in the morning. I like to give homework. I'm a professor, so I try not to, but it just happens. So you have homework, okay. And then no test, but it's a take home, okay? Take home exam. And then I gave you an article because I did want to give you some of the finer details of mentoring. And this is an article I just took off the internet that gives some real practical stuff about mentoring. So read that tonight if you can. I mean, in the morning, this is your homework. You have an article to read. I know, it's rough. All right, get over it. And then you have the workshop, I mean, the worksheet, do that. But tonight I want us just, we have time of prayer as we prepare to go. And I want my young brother in the back to put that song, and I Just Want You More, the one I told you about from YouTube. I want us to pray right now because what I'm going to do in a little bit is he's getting that song ready. I want us to, I'm going to divide you into groups. This over here is going to be the, if you feel like that you're in the Elizabeth Mary connection, you relate to either those part of the stories, you're going to go over there. If you feel like you're relating to Eli Samuel, you'll go here. If you feel like you're relating to Ruth Naomi, you're going to go in this section. If you feel like you're relating more to Esther Mordecai, you're going to go here. And if you are under 40, I want you to see yourself in those younger positions, okay, wherever you go. Because in a moment after you've pondered before the Lord, I'm going to have us break up and have it whatever, wherever you are. Again, here's Elizabeth and Mary, this far corner. You can also use those back chairs there. The center one here again, this is the Eli Samuel. Here we have the Ruth Naomi, and here we have the Esther Mordecai. And I want you to find somebody in that group, and I want you to pray with them. And I want all of you young ones, I want you to go to either of these groups because you're going to either be either of those younger parties there. And I would like to see as many pairings as we can of that younger with the older. Got it? praying for the other, and I want you to then reciprocate, and you pray. So you're going to break up into pairs of two, if you can, okay? But I want everybody to gather with your people, make sense, in those sections, and then you're going to then pray with that younger person who relates to that part of the story, okay? Because I want that young person to activate something in you. God's going to honor this. So put that song on real quick. We're going to just ponder right now. Now, we're going to go before the Lord for a few minutes. Let's just kind of, you know, put your papers down for a little bit. You're saying, Lord, who am I? Has something died within me? Are you trying to stir something in me? Are you trying to bring healing? Do I have walls up that are keeping me from even seeing the mentee or being open to a mentor? This is a night I want us to set the stage to let things go. Let's go into his presence, because his presence will help us shift as well. Number one, give us some volume on that. This is just a worship song. We're going to go into his presence and say, Holy Spirit, you're accelerating things. I want you to do that in me. A little bit more volume. Come on, Lord. Here we are, Lord. Here we are, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's time for us to shift.
Take us into hope.
If you want to get on your knees, you can. Hope. It's okay. It's whatever you want to do. You can go lie on the back of the floor. It's God's living room right here. God's living room. Let's just go deep.
To the home.
It's time.
Home.
Come and meet me, Lord. I'm waiting. I just want you more.
Oh Lord, I just want you more. I just want you more.
Here I am in this new season, God.
Oh Lord,
putting myself before you, Lord.
I just want you more. More.
Just want you. Reaching for what's before.
Jesus.
Pressing on. Here I am, God. Here I am, Lord. It's me. Here I am. It's just me. It's just me. Sweet surrender, God. With me. Oh Lord, I just want you more. I just want you. Begin to pull on the Holy Spirit right now. Go one on one. I just want you more. What I had in the last season, Lord, is not enough. I want to make my flight, God. I want to make my divine connection. Oh, Lord. I just want you more. I just want you. I want to make my connecting flight to destiny, God. Help me. Send the help that I need, God. The support I need. I want to be that person to help others make their flight. I need you more than anything. Let your heart go up to God. Come on. I need you more than anything. Here I am, God. I want you. And I want you, Lord. I want you more than anything. I want you. More and more. Come on. The Lord right now, and I want you just to quietly, I want you just to begin to move to your sections now, and we're going to just keep this music going, and I want you just to find someone, we're going to just pray together, and I want you just say, who are you? And then tell them, they'll tell you, I think I'm Ruth, and you'll say, I think I'm Naomi, or whatever, and just pray for each other, let this anointing just rest on us. We're going to just end this way, and then Lee will close us, but let's just move now and stay in this place of worship. Let's just impart, let's just stir as we prepare to go deeper into the sessions. Keep the chatter to a minimum as you transition, but just quickly move to your sections. More and more, come on. You're doing fantastic, a wonderful thing. As you pray for that person, just say, hey, who are you? And then just find your mate, find your connection, and then just offer a prayer and have them pray back with you. If you can't find anybody of the other generation, then just find somebody who at least is of the same situation. They maybe find another Elizabeth or another Mary, but just I want as many young ones that can get with the older ones as possible. I want you to do that. Talk to each other. Say, who are you? And then just find a place, spread out, and just have a kind of prayer together. We're going to close that way. We love you, Lord. We love what you're doing, God. It's our time. It's our time. It's our time. I'm pregnant. Both generations are pregnant. It's my time to give birth. As I pray for this person, Father, release your anointing. Activate my sister, Lord. Activate me. Can't find somebody, and just find anybody. If you can't find someone, and just see someone who looks like they're wandering, and just find them and say, hey, can I connect with you? Just ask them. Elizabeth and Mary here, Eli Samuel, Ruth Naomi, and over here is Esther and Mordecai. And if all else fails, just grab somebody and just begin praying with them and trust the Lord to just release something through you. You're not just anybody. You're not just anybody. You're not just anybody. Your prayers make a difference. Your prayers activate because God hears you.
Those who hunger and thirst for holiness, 'cause we will be filled. We will be filled.
Excuse me, ladies, for one moment. I know some of you are still praying for each other, and I don't want to stop you, so you can pick up right back after I make this announcement.
You want to say something?
Because I saw a couple of people leave, and I just need to communicate real clearly. We start tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Can everybody say 9 o'clock. What does 9 o'clock mean? Okay. Those of you who are staying in hotels, you probably have breakfast provided for you there. So please eat well before 9 o'clock and get here by 9, because tomorrow morning we have a full schedule and we don't want you to miss anything that's here. Remember what I said about Bold Venture? It's a drinking from a fire hydrant. It's intense. And, you know, this is not the kind of conference where we do like fashion shows and spas and stuff. That's just not what this is about. You can go to other conferences like that. This is a boot camp. So be sure to get some sleep tonight, and then, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that the Lord will get you rested and refreshed. And Lord, would you just minister to every woman here during the night. Give us 2 hours for every 1 hour of sleep we get. And let us come back refreshed and ready tomorrow to receive. Amen. And so you can go ahead if you were still praying. Finish. We're not kicking you out of here. But just you can pray as long as you want. But I wanted everybody to know that. Okay. Bless you.